Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Shoftim Perek Yud, Chapter 10. We ended last Perek with the ultimate low, with the story of Avimelech, a leader motivated by power and self-interest. He was such a stark contrast to his father Gideon and the Shoftim who lived before him, who fought really very selflessly on behalf of Bnei Israel. This parak now will be a transitional parak of sorts as we lead into the stories of the flawed leadership of Yiftach and Shimshon. But first, we have a small section where we have some of these very small shoftim that we may have only a pasuk or two about them, about their leadership, and we're missing many of the details. So the first of these small shoftim is Tola ben Pua. All we know really is that he is from Sheva Yisachar and he led the people for 23 years, but we have no other details about him. The next shofet who's presented is Ya'ir HaGiladi. We have two psukim about Ya'ir HaGiladi, psukim Gimel and Dalet, 3 and 4. We have a little bit more information. He leads the people for 22 years, and what we hear about him is that he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and he owned 30 cities. There's actually a little play on words there in the Hebrew. Vayhilo shloshim banim rochvim al shloshim ayarim. That's the 30 donkeys. Ushloshim ayarim lahem. And they had 30 cities. So there's a little play on words with the ayarim and the ayarim, the cities and the donkeys, which you lose in translation, although the JPS has a creative translation. This is the translation on Safaria. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 burros and owned 30 burros. So that's kind of clever that they kept that in. It's unclear why specifically that information is included about Ya'ir HaGiladi. Radak suggests Sipur ze lehodia sibat hioto shofet ki gadol haya v'nichbad ba'osher v'vanim v'kavod. It's told to tell us why was he chosen as a leader, as a judge, because he was respected because of his wealth and his children and his honor. And perhaps there is a bit of a critique there that how are the decisions being made about leadership? It's not only who is the best person for the job, and I mean there also who is the best person who reflects the highest ideals, but it's the person who has the most money. And this is actually a real contrast, again, to Gideon, whose initial pushback to the Malach Hashem who came to him and said, go save your people, was, I am from the poorest family. How could it be me? I come from such humble roots. And here it seems like the tide has shifted. The second section of this parak begins in Pasuk Vav, the sixth pasuk, and here we return to the cycle that we began with. So the pasuk starts by telling us, "Vayosifu bnei Yisrael lasot hara b'nei Hashem." Bnei Yisrael continued to do bad in the eyes of God. "Vayabdu et ha-ba'alim," and then there's a long list of all the different pagan gods that they were worshiping, the gods of all the nations that surrounded them, and they left Hashem and they didn't worship Him. It's not surprisingly, that's the first part of the cycle. But then, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael, Hashem is angry at Yisrael, Vayim kurim biyad plishtim ubiyad b'nei Amon, and he gives them into the hands of the plishtim and b'nei Amon, and it's 18 years they really suffer, the Jews on both sides of the Jordan River. And because of that, they reach out. So now we're up to our third part of the cycle. We have the leaving God, we have the sending of the enemy, and then next, which appears in Pasuk Yud, Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. B'nei Yisrael cry out to Hashem, and they seem to have a very sincere cry, Chatanu lach, we sinned against you, v'chiyazavnu et Elokeinu, and we left our God, v'na'avod et ha-ba'alim, and instead, we've worshipped Baal. So there's a real cry out with an admission of guilt. But then there is a startling, I don't want to say a silence, but an absence of what we would expect to find there is the Savior. Usually that's when Hashem sends somebody to save them. But here there is no Moshiach, there is no Savior. Instead, Hashem responds in, I think, a very painful response. And he says to the people, we've been through this before, and I'm not ready to save you anymore. You haven't turned to me. So why don't you ask all those idolatrous, you know, pagan gods that you've turned to, go let's see if they can save you. And it's really a very painful speech. I'll read you just a few of the words in Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet 13 and 14. Hashem says, "Lachin lo osif lo shia etchem. I won't save you anymore. Lachu v'zaku el ha'elohim asher bachartem bam. Go cry out. Don't cry out to me. Cry out to the gods that you've chosen. Hema yoshiu lachem be'etzar etchem. They'll save you in your time of need." And this really has an impact on Bnei Israel. And in Pasuk Tet Vav and Tet Zion, we see a real movement towards tshuva. In Tet Vav 15, Vayomru Bnei Israel al Hashem, they cry out to Hashem and they say, Chatanu, we sinned. Asei atalanu kechol hatov be'inacha. Do to us whatever you think is right. Ach hatzileni na hayom hazeh. Just please save us this one time. So there's an admission of guilt. There's a pain there, and there's a recognition that they deserve whatever they're getting, but there's also a cry out to Hashem, please, just, we're really suffering. Just help us this one last time. And in the next pasuk, Tet Zayin, Vayasirut Elohea Nechar Mekirbam, they take away all of these pagan gods, and Vayavdu Et Hashem, and they serve God. So this is actually a pretty amazing moment where it's not just the initial cry, but when Hashem turns it back on them and says, hey, you've said this before, and it's not really meaningful, there is a recognition of what they've done, and there's a active step towards correcting it, and there's a recognition of, we just need help now. But Hashem's reaction, which is at the end of that pasuk, pasuk Tet Zayin, is a surprising one, a hard one to understand, to interpret. The pasuk ends by saying, "Vatikzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael," and his nefesh, right, his soul, his being, was katzar, really means shortened. He couldn't bear, because of the Amal Yisrael, because of all the, Amal is another difficult word, but suffering or the misery of Israel. And it's such a difficult four words to translate that Targum Yonatan doesn't even translate it. He just leaves it out. And part of it is because it's so anthropomorphic. What does that mean that God is almost like not able to live, or the whole idea of saying that the nefesh of Hashem is being pressed is just so antithetical to how we think of God. But I think the other piece is that translating it also leads us into some difficulties, right? What does it mean that God's, God couldn't bear anymore anything, life, because of Amal Yisrael? So one possibility is Hashem just could no longer bear all the sins, all the suffering. And these are the different ways that also the Parshanim, the commentaries, the Rishonim go, the path that they take. Hashem just couldn't bear it anymore. It was too much. It was enough. Like, there's a point where it gets to a certain point that it's just enough. The other possibility is that what Hashem couldn't bear wasn't the sins of Bnei Israel, but it was the suffering of Bnei Israel. And perhaps this was in response to their tshuva. He just couldn't bear to see them suffer anymore. But this is a difficult read because the rest of Sefer Shoftim, they continue to suffer. So this idea that Hashem couldn't bear their suffering is also hard to read into it. And I think one way to address this piece is that when I read this pasuk, it sounds like there just is, it's a way. Certainly, Dibra Torah Kilshon B'nei Adam, I think Radak quotes that here, that the Torah is speaking about Hashem in our terms, in ways we can understand. But what it highlights is that there's a disconnect. Hashem just can't bear their suffering anymore, not because he's so moved by their tshuva, right? It's not that he says, I feel so bad for them because they're so sincerely coming back to me, but because all of that suffering isn't working. Hashem's punishments to them were a sign of a relationship. It was a way of him giving them a way to come back to him. It was a wake-up call. It was setting up a structure so that they would then bring Hashem back into their life. But all of that just wasn't meaningful anymore, because when they came back, they just left again. It doesn't feel real. And this almost feels like a parent or a teacher in those very hard moments of feeling like, I'm working so hard to get you back on track, and nothing that I'm doing actually leads to a result. And that idea of the kotzer nefesh reminds me of when Moshe comes to Bnei Israel in the beginning of Shemot in Perek Vav, and he has such a powerful and really a positive message for them. Don't worry, I'm here for you. I'm going to take you out. There's a future. But then it says, when Moshe spoke to them, Lo shamua Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe. Mikotzer ruach u'me'avodah kasha. Their spirits were just crushed because they had no space left in them, right? That space is the opposite of this kotzer. They have no space left to hear Moshe's message, that there is a future. And in a way, that's how I read these words of Hashem. Kaviyachol, of course, Hashem always has space. But in that moment, we need to understand that when nothing works, it feels like there's no way to even hear the positive message that Bnei Israel are saying, because they've constantly reneged on their word. And then the parak ends with a different sa'aka. We saw Bnei Israel crying out a number of times, but the parak ends with pasuk yud zayin, v'yitzaku Bnei Israel. I'm sorry, v'yitzaku Bnei Amon. Bnei Amon cry out. And here we know that this is the cry of war. They're gathering people together for war. They camp at Gilad. And Bnei Israel come together also in the mitzvah, trying to figure out what to do. And we end with a very powerful pasuk. The nation says to the officers of Gilad, they all turn to each other and they say, Mi ha'ish asher yachel lehilachim b'vnei Amon, yihyeh l'rosh l'kol yoshvei Gilad. Whoever can get up and start this war and help us fight against Bnei Amon, that person will be the leader of all of Yoshvei Gilad. They are desperate again for leadership, for Rosh, and they promise that whoever can begin this fight will ultimately be their leader. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.